As I shared a second ago, that this September I celebrated my 30th year of living in the United States from Haiti. And every time the anniversary of my arrival comes, I take some time to reflect on how far I've come and how much I've changed. I remembered first arriving in the United States and how different everything was. The climate was different. The culture was different. The food was different. And the people were all so different. I remember thinking, I have never seen so many white people in my life. And you have to understand, everything in Haiti is run by black leaders, okay? We have black presidents. Our pastors are black. Our teachers are black. I mean, I learned to read, write, and do math problems by black teachers. And I mean, I still use some of those strategies today. Everything was run by blacks. And my faith was nurtured by these men and Haitian, by these women and Haitian men, by these Haitian men and women in Haiti. So everything was different. So in this 30th year, I've been reflecting. I especially love reflecting on how this person in front of you, after 30 years of assimilation, belongs to no group 100%. I can no longer go back to Haiti and just blend in and just pretend that I'm just going to be one of them. In some sense, I can, but it wouldn't last very long. And I just can't be in America and say, I'll just blend in America, and today I'm going to pretend to be white. There's all kinds of issues with that, right? Which is one of the reasons colorblindness does not work. And if you come to our racial reconciliation group, we'll give you several reasons why that just does not work. My experience in America reminds me of a quote by Maya Angelou that says, "You only are free when you realize that you belong to no place. You belong every place. No place at all," if that confuses you enough. When I first heard that quote, it instantly struck a chord because I often feel like I belong to no place. And on the one hand, the belonging to no place creates all kinds of feelings of loneliness and never fully feeling known. But on the other hand, there's this freedom that comes in celebrating life with the rest of the world, stepping into different cultures, appreciating how God revealed himself to them. And on this day, as we sit around the table together, we get to learn from each other about what different Thanksgiving tables look like. This past week in our children's program, as Julie and Marianne were leading a Thanksgiving activity with the children, one little girl said, "I've never eaten turkey for Thanksgiving before." And I asked her, "Well, what do you eat on Thanksgiving?" She said, "Tamales and pupusas." And she gave me that look like, "Duh, don't you all eat tamales and pupusas on Thanksgiving?" We don't celebrate Thanksgiving the same. See, in America, I've learned some valuable lessons from my brothers and sisters. For example, birthday celebrations. Growing up in Haiti, I don't remember celebrating birthdays. Perhaps it was because we did not have the resources to spend extra on birthday celebrations. But when we came to America, I wanted to join Americans in how they celebrated birthdays. So every birthday with our family, we do the cake, we do the special dinners, we sit around the table lavishing each other with great words of encouragement. That's from America. And I thank my American friends for modeling how to celebrate and honor the image of God through birthday celebrations. And as we're celebrating Thanksgiving this morning, I want to give some tips that I've picked up from around the world to make our Thanksgiving even more meaningful for us on this holiday season. In countries like Haiti, Thanksgiving is celebrated quite differently. And I think there are some lessons we can learn and we can glean from these countries. So the first tip is to make it a habit. Don't just wait for Thanksgiving Day to bring out the best dishes, the chinas. Ephesians 5:20 says to give thanks always. In many countries like Haiti, there's no such celebration as Thanksgiving Day, which is celebrated once a year. There's no such thing. In Haiti, it seemed like Thanksgiving was celebrated once a week because eating meat during the week was a luxury that many families could not afford. So during the week, they'd eat things like cornmeal or sardines or other grains that were very cheap. But Sundays were reserved for the big meal, the big Thanksgiving meal. Now, of course, they did not call it Thanksgiving meal, but that's what it was. There'd be meat and other foods that could not be eaten during the week, and it would truly be a Thanksgiving celebration for God's provisions for them. So yes, celebrate Thanksgiving today. Celebrate it on Thursday. Lavish in what God has done throughout the year. But remember to make it a habit. A couple of weeks ago, Elvis preached on making Thanksgiving a habit. And last week, Pastor Mark repeated the theme of gratitude. And today, we're continuing that theme. It seems like God is trying to tell us something in this church, right? Give thanks always. Whether you're sitting around a meal or not, give thanks and find ways to show gratitude for all that God has done and is doing in our lives. And let us make it a part of our daily disciplines. The second tip is expand the table to include others. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. In all my travels, there seemed to be this universal theme of expanding the table to welcome the stranger. I went to India several years ago, and we visited this family in a small village. They had very little, and the minute we arrived, they hurriedly made chai, and they cleaned off their chairs and tables and seat to give us a seat around the table. 3 weeks ago, I was in Brazil, and it was the same thing. We spent the day with a family of a friend, and we had just met them on that day, so we can crash on the couch on one of our huge layovers. They not only gave us a place to rest our heads during those 12 hours, they cooked us a home-cooked meal and expanded the table for us to eat with them. They included us. In my family growing up, I remembered my grandmother not only expanding the table to include others, but she expanded the definition of family. Everyone was known by mom, dad, grandmother, auntie, or uncle, or cousin. Half the time, you did not know who was blood relative or not. You had no idea because everybody was known by a family name. And when my grandmother would cook, everyone in the laku, which is what we called it, in the community, everyone in the community would get something to eat. Nope, she was not asking, do you want something to eat? Because she knew out of embarrassment, everyone would say no. So she paid attention. She paid attention to see the need in the community. And she just fed everyone. She just fed everyone, and she would not take no for an answer. So on this Thanksgiving season, this Thanksgiving day, this Thanksgiving week, who are you expanding your table to include? I tell you, some of the people who have left a mark on our lives are the ones who included us when they did not have to. The ones who inconvenienced their nuclear family, made them feel a little uncomfortable, or gave them the pep talk before we arrived, just so they can include us, the stranger, the foreigner. Now, you do know, when you expand the table, it will inconvenience your family a little bit, right? You do know that, just like today. It's a huge inconvenience, but it's for a worthy purpose. It will be a little uncomfortable, at least at first, it will. But before you know it, your children will start asking, what stranger are we inviting over today, Mom and Dad? Who are we bringing to our table today? So go for it. So go for it for this Thanksgiving Day. Expand your table and include others. Make it a habit. And the third and final tip I have for us to make it a memorable Thanksgiving is to remember those with less. Galatians 2:10 says, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Every year as we celebrated American Thanksgiving, my mother would do this thing that at first it worried us in the beginning. Her face would soften, her eyes would wander into space, and it would seem as if she was overtaken by grief, and we all know the reason why. We knew what was wrong with her. You see, when you come from a country like Haiti and you've experienced material poverty, and then you come to a country like America where there's an abundance of everything, including food, while you continue to have families in Haiti who are still in need, you can't just celebrate this holiday without thinking of them. You can't just celebrate when there's others that are left behind, whether it be a mother or father, and oftentimes children that are left behind. We don't remember them while feeling guilty or shameful about what we have, but we remember them for our own good. We remember them as a reminder to continue to be about our Father's business, as we see in Isaiah 58. To share our food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, clothe them. And don't turn away from them. We have a calling. And when we sit around the table, around these Thanksgiving table, let us remember the poor and let us spur each other on to be about our Father's business and ensure the needs of those with less get met. Hebrews 13:3 says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Remember them. See their faces. Feel their suffering. That practice will change the way you approach a life of serving others. It will change how we sit around the Thanksgiving table. It will humble us as we approach one another. Now, I shared earlier that I can't claim belonging to a group 100%. I just can't. And Maya Angelou would say, this is what makes you truly free, Jula. And I would say, that's right, Maya. Because it has made me truly free to fully wrap my arms around Jesus and claim my Jesus identity at 100%. That is the only identity that I can say 100%. This is who I am. We are able to sit at this Thanksgiving table as a multi-ethnic family because of our Jesus identity. That's why. And because of this identity, we give thanks. Because of this identity, we expand the table to include others. And because of this identity, we remember those with less. So let us pray and celebrate. Father, we thank you for creating us a new identity and giving us a new heart that is able to give thanks, a new heart that is able to expand the table as we have today, a new heart that is able to remember those with less. Father, as we sit around this table and continue our conversations and partake in a meal, we pray that you may bless it, bless the meal. Let it be of nourishment to our bodies. Let us talk to one another. Let us see one another. Let us understand one another on this day. And let us make it a habit. Let us continue it because that's what you desire for your children. In your name we pray. Amen.